Welcome to Strength to Rise. Fitness is our vehicle.
Do we have your permission to be honest?
Today on Strength to Rise, we are joined by Chad Wesley Smith, owner of Juggernaut Training Systems, and two of his very large friends. Welcome, guys.
How you doing?
So, those two large friends. So we have Chad Wesley Smith here with us, but let's get some introductions. We got Greg and Vinny here, and tell us a little bit about who you guys are and what you're doing here today.
Yeah, my name is Greg Panora. Currently living in Portland, Maine. As a former world record holder in geared lifting in 242 division, I've recently switched over to raw lifting. 2072 raw total. Looking up that on 2100 next time. I'm here today doing a seminar with Chad Wesley Smith and Juggernaut Training Systems.
Vincent DiZenzo, bench only specialist. Bench 600 raw in three weight classes, 900 equipped. Was an all-time world record holder at 275, and just friends with Chad. Friends with Chad and Greg. I mean, that's what's cool about it. But not affiliated. I don't want to lose my sponsorship.
We're just surrounded by some very large, strong gentlemen. Today, Drew, myself, and Manny got to sit through a phenomenal, Juggernaut seminar. It's actually the fourth that I've been to.
That's a record, I think.
I might be a Juggernaut whore by now. Learn a ton.
It takes a different qualification.
That's for later. Thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule. Sure. You guys have traveled from, California. Greg from, 3:30 in the morning from Maine. Vinny, sorry, you live in Connecticut.
I drove like 5 minutes away. I was just hoping to eat with these guys, and I got pulled into this.
Chad, powerlifting is growing tremendously, and I guess any one of you guys can answer this, but some of your biggest influences in the, for you in the sport of strongman and powerlifting, some of those core, coincide with each other. I sit here and I say, okay, I can look at these three guys who might have some influence in what I've been doing as far as powerlifting. I know Manny's got aspirations for powerlifting, and when this guy's all healed up, wants to step on a platform. So my influence is in front of me. Who are some of your guys' influences coming up in this sport?
The biggest ones for me are kind of older competitors. Bill Kazmaier, John Cole is probably my number one, because he has track and field background as well as powerlifting, which I come from the same background. Mikhail Kuklaev is of current competitors probably my personal favorite, because of his ability to cross over from all these different sports. But there's so many great competitors right now, guys I guess who are peers of mine, but that constantly inspire and push my performances, like Eric Lillibridge, Dan Green, Brandon Lilly. There's so many great competitors right now.
Greg, you've had an opportunity to train, at Westside, things like that.
I've been doing this for so long now. I started out bodybuilders, Dorian Yates, Ronnie Coleman. Shifted into strongman from there, I never competed. Bill Kazmaier, John Paulson Larson. Now it's just Chad, Brandon, Vinny. Chuck Vogelpool is a big one coming up as well. Dan Green, of course, Eric Lillibridge. So many. I can go on for 45 minutes with this, so I'll give you a
quick. My first inspiration just to lift weights had to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm older than these guys, so I mean, everybody saw Arnold. I think that's kind of the reason I just started lifting. But Bill Kazmaier was just a huge inspiration, just because he's just freaking monster and just so ridiculously strong in every aspect. And Ted Arcidi, being a bench only guy, was someone just kind of looked up to. He was just super strong cat, and really kind of brought benching to the forefront, because I think he was the first 700 pound bencher equipped, and that really kind of skyrocketed the bench only thing. So
what was the Arnold movie that really did it for you?
It has to be Commando, because I think he was in Commando. He was rocking the mankini. I mean, he had. I didn't think that.
Commando's been on like Showtime or Cinemax lately, and when he gets out of the aquatic plane and is rowing,
and he's rowing the boat.
And I mean, Ray Dong Chong or whatever that actress's name is, she was just. Change your pants right there. You can see it. I mean, it's implied in the movie that's what happens after, but Like, and he listen, goes and kills everyone, and then it's like, oh my God, you are all that is man.
But listen, he's pulled it back together. I mean, as he was the most recent movie Arnold did, I forget what it was, he was a DEA agent, but he was back in lifting conditioning, so he's held it together for... He's held it together for a long time, and there's hope for me yet at 45.
Well, I mean, he had it. He regained it.
Yeah, I'm still just trying to get there.
Yeah, Commando, that one for me, too. That's the ultimate.
Predator for me.
Yeah.
I'd have to go for a Commando.
Yeah, Predator. Set up. I don't even know the Commando.
We had Commando on recorded from TV on VHS, and I must have seen it 90 times, and it like still has some, like the commercials are in it, but like, well, we get like the first commercial and stop recording for the commercial. So I have, like, I know there was a California Raisins commercial with Ray Charles, and then I still remember that because I've seen the VHS copy of Commando recorded from TV so many times.
That's you have to I'm a bodybuilder, so I have to say there's tons of bodybuilders that inspire me, and getting strong is something that every bodybuilder needs to do. You guys all have competed in the sport of powerlifting. Question that I'm always asked by people that want to lift heavy. Can someone who's never stepped on a platform, can they call themselves a powerlifter?
No. No, it's a competitive sport. Unless you're competing at it, you are a gym rat or a gym lifter, which is fine, but you're not a powerlifter until you competed.
Agreed.
Same thing would be said for a bodybuilder. You can follow a training lifestyle, but unless you step on the stage, you're not a bodybuilder. Same thing with powerlifting.
Yeah, Greg, you said it about competing. Just compete.
Right.
Just compete. You've done 17, I think it was.
I've done probably 100.
17, your first year. Yeah. I did as a bodybuilder. I did seven 1 year. I've done 20 overall.
Yeah.
And until you compete, you can't. I just feel you can't call yourself something.
No.
And the interesting thing about powerlifting is, and no offense to powerlifting, but you don't even have to be that good to step on a platform. And in bodybuilding, you have to be in a certain amount of shape. And we've all been to bodybuilding shows. We've been to bodybuilding shows where you think, maybe it's a make-a-wish. I always feel like, I don't know, maybe this is that guy's dream. Like, I never try to make fun of anybody because maybe it's their lifelong dream, and, and not to be judgmental as much as I'll kid, but... in bodybuilding, you really should come in a certain condition, and you see more often than not. But in powerlifting, there's more people who say, well, what do my numbers need to be? They don't have to be anything.
Right. It's like the American Idol effect. It's like, has no one told you that you're kind of flabby and white and don't have that much muscle?
But I have to agree.
I'll say that I have way more respect for a guy who gets on a platform and benches 100 pounds than I do for some guy at the gym telling me he benches 600 pounds and
everybody benches 600
pounds.
My uncle benched 720 in his garage last week.
So it kind of goes, no one's ever going to be ready.
Right, no one, yeah.
unless you hire Chad Wesley, he's going to beat you for your week.
Right, no, you just got to do it. You got to step up and do it. And you first one, it doesn't matter how you do. Just get through it, learn. Your first couple of years, just spend time learning.
And you as a bodybuilder would know, I've had friends who are bodybuilders, and Greg, you have background in it. There's not that kind of support in bodybuilding. It's a very individual sport. Backroom, the guys, they want to kill each other. They want to talk to each other. There's no powerlifting, and you'll know now, is so addicting because the people know, literally the people there will give you the shirt off their back. You find guys helping new lifters. They'll help them warm up. Don't do this, do this. There's so much support in the sport of powerlifting that's why people get really addicted to it very quickly. So don't be afraid to step on the platform. Even if you go to the first meet I ever did, I went to by myself, and there were tons of people that helped me. It was awesome.
It was my first year doing that. I was a broke college kid when I started competing. I was like 19, and I didn't have a belt, had no shoes. I wear my New Balance shoes and borrow belts at the meet. Is I'd go over to the crowd and say, hey, we got a belt. Someone give me one. Vinny, you might remember those things. I'm still doing it.
He's still got one of my singlets. He's gotten some good lifts in that singlet.
Hey, my first meet, my belt got DQ'd, and I couldn't wear the wrist wraps I had. So I know, you're asking other people for help, and it's cool to see that within the sport.
Yeah, I've had someone different wrap my knees at every single meet I've ever done. Just like finding people there, The first meet I did, you know, I'd only been in E-Reps like twice before that. I had never been to a powerlifting meet, even to watch it. And this guy sees me wrapping my knees for my first attempt, and he looks at me, he's like, "You want some help with that?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "You have a preference on how they go? Is it just do it the way that's going to make me squat the most?"
On my knees.
Yeah. And it was actually Alan Best, who's a great single ply lifter. He squatted like 1040 single ply at 308, super strong. Wow. Guy, and he was the one wrapping my knees. I didn't even know that till after the fact, but yeah, people are always, it's a nice community.
I mean, you talk about the community, and as fitness businesses, gym owners, Drew and I, you know, just through like-minded things, we came in contact with each other. How do you guys find each other? You know, and Jed, you've done a phenomenal job of bringing people to JTS, and it's, you know, what did you call it today? You called it an educational goldmine, Drew?
Yeah.
You know, for strength athletes, coaches, and strength athletes. How do you guys find, you know, how do you find each other? Is it the sport that brings you together?
I met Vinny on Tinder.
You stole my joke. I was gonna say Grindr. I was gonna say I met him on Grindr.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, at competitions, and then as you meet one coach or lifter, you know, they have their own network of people that they that they associate with, but
Greg,
you know,
and I just fisted.
But you know, probably the most I guess significant you know member of Juggernaut besides myself would be Brandon Lilly, and you know, we really met on a whim, kind of. We knew who each other were from meets, and we met at Learn to Train at Elite FTS maybe summer of 2012, and talked for 20-30 minutes, and you know, it wasn't anything big. And then you know, as I started building up Team Juggernaut on my own, I was like, oh, I should probably get some other people with me here. I was like, that Brandon guy seemed cool, and it was just sort of, do you want to do this, do you want to keep your training log? And you know, looking back 2.5 years later, not only is one of my best friends, but how his name in the strength world has been able to grow and everything. It's, you know, if you just surround yourself with good like-minded people, you know, they are also going to know other good like-minded people, and just keep growing the network. But you know, the big thing for me, and with what I'm trying to do with Juggernaut, there's so much information out there, you know, about lifting and fitness. And I would say that there's two things. There's internet coaches, and there's coaches who put stuff on the internet. And internet coaches are people, maybe they're great writers or they're good speakers, and they can talk the talk all day, but they've never really trained, they've never competed, they don't really coach anyone. And then at Juggernaut, I try and take coaches and help them put stuff on the internet. The guys who are really living it, whether it's competitors or as coaches, you know, maybe they're not the most polished writers or whatever, but we can help them out with that part and try and provide a platform and a voice to the people who are really have the real information and help them get that out there.
I think that's been a common theme since we basically started this podcast, going on episode number 5. Is just, you know, every single time that we talk to somebody, it's about, you know, being surrounded with good people, you know, having, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a strongman, powerlifter, or anything like that. If you can find that connection with great people who are passionate about this industry, you know, that makes a huge difference in the quality of work that you're putting out and where you want to go with it.
Well, I think there's a mutual respect, and I think that's how we kind of all find each other. Like I'll go to different seminars. You know, I'm not a member of the team, but Chad and I, you know, we're friends. Greg and I, different gyms, different, you know, different meets, different federations, different sponsorships. We still have a mutual respect, and I could say an admiration for each other, because I know what Chad has done to get strong. I know what Greg has done to get strong, because we've all done the same thing. And you know, a lot of people, especially in society now, I think they want things too quickly, too easily. You know, it's definitely a now generation. And you know, I think we kind of, when we see each other, we kind of kind of flock to each other. It's like, you know, I want to train with this guy. I know I'll get stronger. I always look for stronger people to get stronger. And now that I'm stronger, I want to train with stronger people and learn. And I learned some great cues today. Just so always being around, you know, not that you can't learn from people who aren't stronger than you, but when you see someone, when walk the walk and talk the talk, you're kind of, your ears perk up a little more. So it's, we always, just cool to always get around each other. Whenever strong people are in town, I think you always look for them.
I actually kind of know both these guys because I was a fan. Vinny I met years and years ago. I don't know if you remember this, Vinny. You were drinking a 2 liter of Pepsi, eating a giant bag of chips. And I was sitting there, I was putting this little restaurant.
You're going to have to be more specific.
I was sitting there looking at it. I knew who he was. And I was a new lifter coming up. I was 19 or 20. And I was sitting there staring at Vinny. And finally I went over and said hi. And he was really cool. I thought he was going to be a dick, but he wasn't. He was really cool. And then, you know, went over to West Side.
I was happy because I was eating, which I don't do anymore.
You had the biggest bag of chips I've ever seen.
My God, I'm so sad right now. This is such a good time. I remember that.
And so, and then, you know, I went over to West Side and you know, broke the world record, whatever, whatever. And then I retired from the sport. Then I retired and I was done. And I started reading Chad's stuff and Brandon's stuff and I was like, wow, I really like this. You know, raw lifting might be where it's at. So switched up and eventually, you know, Chad got a hold of me and you know, here we are today.
Chad, was that your original goal for JTS? You know, you look at like the amount of people that have come together through Juggernaut and the reach that you now have within, you know, the strength world. What was the original vision?
Well, like I said, the original vision was just training people in person in 2009. And in 2012, I really kind of shifted that towards, you know, more education type of stuff. And I, you know, I don't profess to have all the answers. And there's a lot of, you know, realms of strength and fitness and training that I don't know that much about. And my ego is not so big as to say, you know, I'm going to try and answer these questions that I don't know anything about. Let me bring in experts and let them share their expertise in their field and carve out their niche to be a real leader in that, in whatever niche of this industry that they are experts in. And that's kind of my main thing now is it's like a high tide raises all boats sort of situation. You know, if I can provide Dr. Quinn Hennock with a voice to, you know, become this authority in movement, mobility, and rehab, and Colin Burns with a voice to become this authority in Olympic weightlifting, and Nick Shaw and Dr. Mike Isratel in nutrition, and so on and so forth, you know, and, you know, treat them well and have good relationships through Juggernaut, it's just going to make it better for everyone.
You talk about the educational piece, and like Vinny said, I every time I hear, you know, you speak at a seminar, attend a seminar, and read an article, you're picking up knowledge, you know, nuggets. For those people who are out there that want to, you know, let's say, improve their squat, or, you know, figure out why does Chad, you know, deadlift in boat shoes? what are, you know, I think people get too hung up on the more is more, or the cool is better. What are some, you know, if you were to give one tip to somebody that's a power lifter that wants to improve their squat, I'll let Chad take the squat, and Vinny, you know, you can take the bench, being a specialist in that, and Greg take the deadlift. But Chad, go ahead with the squat. What would you say? Just one thing. You have people out there, you've got 18 clients competing in 2 weeks, you know, that want to make the best of this meet. What's one thing they need to do?
Well, in the next 2 weeks, the advice is different than I'd give just in general. But, you know, for those people in the next 2 weeks, it's get as healthy as you can and be as confident as you can. Because in the next 2 weeks, you're not going to get any stronger. You're just going to be feel as good as you can going into the meet. Feel as good physically and mentally as possible. So that when you approach every bar, you've squatted it a million times in your head before. All right. And so they can approach that with great confidence. And then in the bigger sense, you know, just training the squat in general, it's going to be to squat more. You know, more reps, more variations, you know, more total volume. Practice your craft. You know, don't be afraid of overtraining. I train with extremely high volume, and you know, maybe they're not always the highest percentages, but the absolute weight being used is really high, and I'm not getting overtrained from that. I'm just getting stronger and stronger. So don't be afraid to turn the volume up.
Say, for a new lifter, one of the best piece of advice I could give that was given to me and I use still to this day is video. I mean, it was a lot harder back in the day with the 8mm and the cave drawings. But, you know, everybody's got a phone now, videotape and critique it. Don't just put it on social media and no one cares that you benched 150. So that's kind of an immediate thing. For a meet coming up, I would say, and this would go for all the lifts, find some, if you're a novice lifter, find someone who competes. There's enough people who compete in a local area. Reach out to them. Say, if you're gonna, who's gonna be at this meet? Can someone help me? Could someone coach me through this meet? Because there's so many variables going into a meet that, you know, to show up there, some people look like a deer caught in a headlight. You know, they don't know how to warm up. They don't know how the flights work. They don't know when to weigh in. So it's such a big learning process. Like, if you could have someone shepherd you through that day, that's just going to be so invaluable. And again, how we talked about the camaraderie and the brotherhood and sisterhood of powerlifting, you will find someone who will help you.
My advice for a new lifter is build a base, you know, for deadlift or even all the lifts. I mean, build a base. You know, fine-tune your muscles, find people who are stronger than you, shut your mouth, listen, you know, watch as much video on the internet as you can, learn as much as you can about the sport, get better, and shut your mouth. So,
you know, where do you guys see powerlifting head? It's grown tremendously. Was it, Vinny, today you called it the, you think this is more sort of golden era of powerlifting?
Yeah. You know what it is? I just see more people competing. I don't ever see powerlifting coming back together in one federation because there's just, it's all about money. Who has a federation? Who can, I don't see it unifying, but I see it in a great place that there will be more powerlifters than ever, more meets than ever. And just to grow the sport that way, I think is incredible. I'd love to see more unification, but I don't know that that will happen. But more bodies in powerlifting is better.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you want in any sport, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we could ever unify, if lifters could ever decide, listen, we have a decent pool of people that have some buying power that we could, you know, there could be a little more money in the sport. There could be some sponsorship. And powerlifters spend money. Powerlifters, meats aren't cheap, equipment's not cheap, food's not cheap, supplements not cheap, training's not cheap. You know, but we have to unify if we want it to get more out of it.
So, you know, here we are. We're at CrossFit Milford. We just had a, you know, awesome training seminar that was about powerlifting, and there were CrossFitters in here, there were powerlifters in here, there were just general population people. You mentioned this earlier, Chad. You know, people are like, what's that noise? We have a group, a team of CrossFit Milford, you know, that just trained next door that are coming back in here.
It's Greg.
This is real, people. Okay?
It's Greg's stomach growling. He's really hungry.
He's actually standing in front of us. So he's actually seated, thank God. So, you know, look at the breathing very heavy.
That's because he's sitting next to me.
Let's talk about the fitness industry as a whole. We talk about, you know, powerlifting coming together. Why are there so many gaps and separations within the fitness industry? You know, Drew and I are both independent gym owners, but we have friends and colleagues that own CrossFit gyms. What is the disconnect? Where did it start? And why is it, you know, why can't it be, I guess, one big happy family?
Yeah, it's all egos. It's all jealousy. I mean, there are a lot of powerlifters, strongmen, weightlifters, or whatever, who want to hate on CrossFit, and they wish that they had what CrossFit had. They wish that, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of people wanting to watch them, and they were going to get paid all this money, and that there were going to be all these girls in tiny shorts who thought that they were really cool for doing what they do. And there are probably a lot of sort of mid-level powerlifters and weightlifters who are jealous that there are CrossFitters who are better than them at what they specialize in without specializing in it. You know, I don't think that up at the top of most of these sports that it's not, you know, I'm not looking at Rich Froning being like, oh, Rich Froning's a pussy because he does CrossFit. No, like, it's fucking awesome. You know? And the weightlifters, you know, that's great. They do what they do. And the strongman, it's great when they do what they do. I think it's more, you know, the sort of mid-levels and beginners who want to, you know, they attach themselves to this idea or identity. And they feel like that, you know, it's great to have ownership of what you do. But they want to, you know, they feel like if what they do is good, it can be the only one that's good, you know, so they have to you know, talk shit about these other things.
I saw Marshall Johnson, a great geared powerlifter, hooking up with Ty Green, getting a photo taken, amazing bodybuilder. I never hear, and I'm fortunate enough to be around a lot of top level, either strongmen, powerlifters. I've never heard one of them talk shit about CrossFit. I've never heard one of them talk shit about another strongman or an Olympic lifter. There's definitely that mutual respect. I think Chad, when he says the mid-level, the masses, again, there's probably a lot of CrossFit.
It's the trolls on social
media. Yeah, it's the 12-year-old kid in his basement, or, you know, or it's the it's the guy who's getting out deadlifted by a CrossFit chick, you know, at a powerlifting meet. I love now at powerlifting meets. There's so many CrossFit athletes who just want to get stronger. I think it's awesome. You come to seminars now, and I think you know, there might be some discrepancies on training philosophy, and I think that's where there could be a divide. But that's on an educational, that's on a more cerebral level than just the athletic level. And I don't think there's that disconnect on the athletic level. I mean, it's separate, kind of like bodybuilding and powerlifting is separate. You know, you're just traveling different packs, but you know, the more they have these expos and the more people are getting together, I think they're going to see more blending of athletes, which is really cool.
Right. I actually work in a CrossFit. I coach powerlifting in a CrossFit, which is bizarre, but it works out really well. They get to, you know, come into my world for a little while, and I watch what they do, and it's made some of my best friends. My girlfriend there, actually. So, I mean, it's been great. It's worked really, really well. You know, it gives CrossFitters a chance to kind of stay around and talk in between sets, as opposed to, you know, as when they're doing CrossFit, it looks like they're on the ground vomiting after workouts. But, you know, when they powerlift, they come in and talk between sets and get to know each other a little better, too. And so it works really, really well. Hopefully there'll be some more of that in the future, other CrossFits.
Would you guys consider this the golden era, like Vinny called it earlier, of powerlifting? Is powerlifting, because of other sports like CrossFit and like strongman and like, you know, Olympic lifting, is it becoming more popular because of those things?
I think it's becoming more popular due to the internet. I mean, there's so much information out there, so many videos. I mean, you can see, you know, some guy out in New Zealand doing a deadlift, or, you know, stuff you couldn't see 20 years ago when it was first coming up. The internet was first coming. We finally got one probably 6 months into my lifting, you know, career. And, you know, I would sit there for 45 minutes and wait for a picture of Ed Cohen to download. And now, you know,
in his yellow singlet.
Exactly. His yellow singlet. But yeah, now you can, you know, now it's everywhere. You can, you know, you can Google somebody's name and find 50 videos, training advice. So.
And I think CrossFit needs to be credited a lot to that, giving a general population, you know, just more regular people, an appreciation for what squat, bench, deadlift, snatch, clean and jerk is, so that they can actually relate, you know, potentially relate to it, and you know, appreciate these heavy weights, and certainly, you know, exponentially grown the number of people who would be interested in watching it, and I'm sure grown the number of people who participate in it. So as far as it being the golden age of lifting, you know, I don't know that the lifters now are better necessarily than you know, guys in the 70s and 80s. There's not a true world championship and not the same level of competitiveness, but there sure are a ton of really, really strong people lifting right now across all different, you know, whether it's raw with wraps, raw with sleeves, single ply, multi ply, you know, men's and women's lifters, lightweight, heavyweight, you know, there's great lifters across the board. I can't predict the future, but I'm sure that a lot of the numbers being set now by guys like Eric Lillibridge, Dan Green, Andre Milanichev, Jesse Norris are going to be numbers that could stand for, you know, several decades, like a lot of the current raw records, you know, are just only recently being broken. You know, records from guys like Don Reinhout and John Cole and Larry Pacifico. So,
yeah, I think CrossFit basically has taken what we have been able to do so far for strength and conditioning and just put marketing on it. You know,
yeah,
it's brought it to a cool place for, you know, people to actually work hard and not just, you know, and that's the thing you guys have all talked about throughout the day today. You know, it's about consistency, but it's about the hard work. And then when you're at that elite level, you all can look at each other and say, I know what it took to get that done. It's a great sport. You're participating.
Yeah. But there's a lot of crossover, which is great, between strongman, powerlifting, bodybuilding. You know, there's more. And I think Chad, when he said the internet, has definitely been a good thing. You're like, you're exposed to more. So you're like, you know, I'm strong, I could do that. Or I'm big, I could do that. So I think that's why it's so cool. And I think that's what will make it keep growing in popularity on all in all areas.
So I think to wrap up, I think one of the great pieces of today was I think all great presenters in general are great storytellers. Today during your seminar, you shared a lot of them. What's one story, Chad, that you would like to share with our listeners that maybe people don't know about you?
A personal story about me.
Sure.
I normally don't like to share my personal information with the world of the internet. You guys want me to do one of my cool impressions? We could pretend that you're interviewing Dmitry Klokov. Oh, yes, Tyler. what questions do you have about the weightlifting in Mother Russia? Like, I could tell stories like that. But, I just want to say thank you to the people who listen to podcasts like this and the guys who attended the clinic today. It's just such a great opportunity, and I appreciate it every day. And it's tough. Because I do it so often, it's sometimes tough to not lose perspective on that. 5-8 years ago, if I would have gone to an event like this, like last night, I had dinner with Derek Poundstone, all right? And a couple months ago, I got to have dinner with Adam Nelson, gold medalist in the shot put. Adam Nelson was literally my hero in all of high school and college, and now because of bending my knees and standing up with a bunch of weight and then writing about it on the internet, I get to have dinner with him, and he asks me questions about Adam Nelson, my high school and college hero, does the juggernaut method. So, getting to hang out with people like Adam Nelson and Derek Poundstone, guys who are real heroes of mine, and to think that maybe interactions with some people at these kind of events, that they look at me the way that I looked at those guys, is a very humbling and almost hard to wrap my head around kind of idea. Because if someone says, you're my hero, and I was like, I just lift weights, you should pick a cooler hero than that, than me. But it's a blessed to have these kind of opportunities and very grateful for it.
Well, thank you. And Drew and I, we say it, fitness is our vehicle. And it's in different aspects of fitness that hopefully with Strength to Rise, we'll continue to bring the fitness industry together. So, Chad, Vinny, Greg, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
I think, we learned a ton today, and I appreciate you guys' time. And we're out of here, and we will see you again on Strength to Rise.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys very much.
Bye.
Thanks, both.
Appreciate it.